Faz. ויבואו כל בני ישראל, כל העד המתבצעים, בחודש הראשון. מתבצעים בחודש הראשון, איש הלאום, לכל איש, לכל מה שאומרים, בתקוות ובשום, מי דייס, ברי, לא יומיים, לא עדו, there wasn't any water for the Eidah. There wasn't water for the Eidah to be found anywhere. There's no water. So they all ganged up on Moshe Aaron. The Gavanu, what's going to be? There's no water. Can't survive. People can't live without water. The Loma Hadeis Meskala Shavuot as a Loma Shomanachlu V'Yirenu. Why did you bring us here to this midbar to finally die from thirst? Moshe Rabbeinu, again, hears the complaints of Klal Yisrael. And then, one of the most famous stories in the history of the famous stories in the Chumash transpires. You shall talk to the rock before their eyes, and the rock will produce water. The arm is complaining again. The arm is thirsty. The arm challenges Moshe again. The Taka have no water. The Taka thirsty. The Taka dehydrated. And Moshe Rabbeinu is pressed against the wall by Klal Yisrael. Hashem tells him, speak to the rock. Take your stick and speak to the rock. Now, we know, everybody knows the story afterwards. They had their coloring books. My kindergarten, Moshe takes the stick and he hits the rock, and that causes the outcome that Moshe Rabbeinu does not get to go into Eretz Yisrael because he did not speak to the rock, but he hit the rock. So the Aveira, Rashi tells us, was a Chilul Hashem. He didn't listen exactly to Hashem. Hashem told him to speak to the rock. The end of the day, Rabbi Yisai, what is the difference? At the end of the day, there was a Kiddush Hashem. Does it make a difference if he hits the rock or he speaks to the rock? The word was to show Klal Yisrael that if we listen, we show Klal Yisrael the greatness of Hashem Yisbarach, that from a rock, an inanimate object, can come forth water. So it makes a difference if Moshe Rabbeinu hits it with a stick, or Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to the rock. So Rashi tells us, yes, there was a lesson to be learned from speaking to the rock, Madoch, you speak to the rock. So, at the end of the day, they would have really been a Kavachoyim, and if the rock listens, so we should listen also. That's what Rashi said, and that's Rashi's Mahal. Wanted to bring out another Mahalach Beis Hashem. Other Mephoroshim speak out the Deen of the Vibat Malasela, try to understand it. Another Oifin Rabbi Yisrael. What the meaning of speaking to the rock was so important, to speak to the rock and not just hit it. You saw the Boisai, the Midrashim, the Mephoshim speak out over here. The speaking to the rock that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to do was also very fair. What does it mean, speak to the rock? Hello, rock. How are you? Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to get into a conversation with the rock. Hi. Maybe you can give us some water today. What do you mean to speak to the rock? What's the kavana? In our generation, that wouldn't be a problem, because we speak to inanimate objects and they answer it. I heard a tape someone was speaking over about he was in a car with his Talmud, and his Talmud said, Rebbe, good news. Just got the new iPhone that came out. The iPhone 5, 6, 7, 18, whatever it is. And Maisa, so the Rebbe didn't know so much about the iPhone. This, he says, Rebbe, you won't believe these iPhones. You won't believe them. They're much better than the old iPhone. He said, what's the difference? You have whatever you need. Say, if upon him, your office is on it, everything's on it. But it's a, what's the big difference? No, Rebbe, this one's unbelievable. Watch this. You can talk to your phone. It's an inanimate object. It's a piece of metal. You can talk to it and answer. No, I can't believe it. Yeah, watch this. Hello. Hi. Then he says, watch this, Rebbe. Will you marry me? The guy's proposing to his phone. Wow. It's getting interesting over there. So the Rebbe said to him, like, you know, take it easy. I hope he's not getting too serious. The phone answered back, I don't know you well enough. We should get to know each other better. People are laughing. It's most... crazy, right? And then he said, Hare Yat. No. But anyway, but you can talk to your phone. If it sees in this generation, it'll answer you. And it will, you know, this person was bringing out also the horror of it. Rabbi said, that these phones, like Modern Son, were created by whoever it was. I don't know if you remember his name, something Jobs, whatever his name was, is, whatever. And if you ask on the phone if there's a Hashem in the world, the phone will answer you. This was his point, I heard the tape that. The phone will answer you, I don't have enough knowledge or something. The phone answers you an answer. The answer doesn't say that they believe in God or not. Oh, it's fine, but I have a person carrying around, you want to carry around such a thing. Well, you would think this thing, this inanimate object that now talks, but the vice on it, it's a I don't understand how a person can, but Baruch Hashem, all yeshiva, we don't have that problem. But I'm saying all the yeshivas that have, all the yeshivas that have such a problem, I don't know how a bacha could take around something that has kfira. The guy who made it has kfira, and the maestro you talk to about Hashem, it says, you don't have enough information to answer that question. Take it and smash it into the ground. This machine that's so worshipful, it's been all day. Tells you that it doesn't believe in it, but you don't have enough information. But at the end of the day, everybody said this, and it seems you can talk to an object, you can talk, have a conversation, right? And we would go passing by, I think, on the bus up to the Tiyul, so they had an advertisement, I think, for this iPhone thing. It said, your greatest companion. Right? That was the Lord's greatest companion. I'd say that because you don't need friends anymore. used to be the dog was man's best friend. Now we don't need dogs anymore. Get rid of the dogs. We have the iPhone. Man's best friend now. Man's best friend. You don't need it. You talk to it all day. And the mic's the best thing because even if you get angry at it, tell it to shut up. It'll say, you know, okay. You know, it'll listen right back. You're not going to get into a fight with it. It won't throw you out of the house. It won't hit you over the head with a pan. It won't come with a black eye. No problems. And you can go around your whole life living with your iPhone, with your phone. But at the end of the day, everybody said, you will never have a real companion in life. This is your companion. But in this generation, we have this Matzias, a person can talk to his phone, can propose to his phone, and he could go out to dinner with his phone. But at the end of the day, the Maisa, at the end of the day, the rock that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to wasn't supposed to be just going to have a conversation, carry a conversation, and Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't proposing to the rock. So what is the Yisod with the Ba'at HaMelasela that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying? We have to understand it. The kids are, we don't have so much time, we'll start late. I want to end a little bit early so we can, so the schedule tonight can go what we planned, but Be'ezah Hashem, we want to bring a Yisoy to the Tziv, the Etzel Yisid, before I should bring it down, Tziv is Mazel a little more, but the Yisoy that's where I'm is, that's with the Ibarat and Melasela, and before I should bring down, or Chaim will bring it down, Shem Chazal. The Dibarat and Melasela does not mean just to speak to the Rabbi. The Dibarat and Melasela means that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be Shana Olav Perek Echad to learn a piece of Torah by the rock. That was the Kavana of Vidibartem. Azoy Vidibartem bomb. Should speak in Torah? Vidibartem el Asela was, means, speak to the rock. Learn a Mishnayis. Learn some Torah by the rock, Moshe Rabbeinu. And the koyach of learning Torah by the rock will bring aboard a nes in the Bria. The koyach of Torah, as our Chaim Rebbe says, that Aydesh Yishishna Allah Perek Echad Shal Torah Shuchaye Oilam Mipeh Kodoy Shoyre Koyach Shabedoymein Umizeh Yisoyer Laseis Mayim. A koyach, a strength in the doymein, in the inanimate object, will be misoyre, will be aroused, and water will come forth from a rock. The koyach of Torah will make that pea, that rock, produce. And it could be the lesson was, what they said. The Klal Yisrael felt they were lost. And that Miriam HaTzadekis now, she was the one who produced, helped to help, because she was also Tzipanias, her greatness, the thing that she did for Klal Yisrael. She helped the Susar that brought the water. And Kosh Baruch was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to the rock, learn a piece of Torah by it. To teach the Klal Yisrael that if we do Torah the right way, if we miss any words of Torah, you don't understand the power of Torah. You're complaining that you don't have water. You're complaining, you got shmiz. You're complaining that you're not, you know, it's not going well. Kosh Baruch wanted to show them, don't hit the rock, Moshe Rabbeinu. Hitting the rock with the stick that has Hashem's name on it. Koyach, of course, the Koyach of Hashem to bring it. Of the Bartem, they will need, oh, we need to come out to HaKadosh Baruch, we have to be a Tzadekes, like Miriam. The Bartem El Asela realized the Koyach, the power of words of Torah. That words of Torah can produce miracles in the Bria. And this was the lesson that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to drive home to Klal Yisrael at this point. Stop complaining what you don't have. You can have everything. The Koyach HaTorah can be shot in the Bria. It can bring rain. It can bring water. It can take an inanimate object and change it that it has a Metzias to give pour forth water. But this was the lesson that Klal Yisrael missed out by Moshe Rabbeinu not speaking to the rock. Not speaking to the rock. Koyach of what words of Torah can produce. And this was an invaluable lesson. Klaus missed out. If this was the punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu, you won't be able to lead them into Eretz Yisrael. You won't be able to take them in. The way we conquer Eretz Yisrael also, Boisah, is with Koyach HaTorah. The conquering of Eretz Yisrael has to be by Yehoshua also, because he is the Koyach HaTorah. Yeshua was the Talmud who was, Chazal say, the reason why he was Zoicha to be Koyvish Eretz Yisrael, Rashi says, because he was Meshamish Moshe Rabbeinu with Torah, and that was his Koyach to lead the Vayisrael into Eretz Yisrael. And the conquering of Eretz Yisrael, conquering all of the lands, with the Koyach of Torah. The Moshe Rabbeinu, who, in a certain way, who did not give them that lesson of the power of Torah, will not lead them into Eretz Yisrael. This is such a powerful lesson for us, especially going to Ben Hazmanim. You would think this is a powerful lesson for us, for, you know, the beginning of this man, the Koyach HaTorah, but it's especially powerful for us in these days of coming to Ben Hazmanim. And we have to realize, Rabbi, that we need help. Ben Hazmanim especially. We're so pulled away from our natural habitat. We're pulled away from our base medrash. We're pulled away. I was speaking a certain Talmud today. I'm going back to the States itself. We're surrounded by things that are pulling us away. We need a power. We need a force to help us stay connected, to help us connect, to help us enthuse us with Torah, with mitzvahs, with connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The power that Torah has over us, it's an unbelievable power. I was just reading an article. In the Mishpacha, they had an article this week. Rabbi Aaron Lopiansky wrote, he's writing, an article, the Rashiva of Greater Washington, he was writing, they wrote, they put an article that they had discussed with the problem of the issue of the draft in Eretz Yisrael. And he was telling how he was once on a plane within his he was on a plane, he was in a section that it was only him and another person. This person was coming to Washington. He was working for the Israeli army. He was having to be a colonel. And he got into conversation with this Rosh Hashir, Rabbi Aaron Lopiansky. And they were discussing, it wasn't recently, we were discussing the Indian of what is it, why is it that Yeshiva Bachim aren't drafted. And this colonel was tiny, that, you know, at the end of the day, they learn till they're 18. So you claim, they claim that they're going to go out now to the army and they're going to get influenced. He says, it must be the system is corrupt. Your system is no good, your educational system is no good. If after 18 years of learning, they can't withstand the temptations, they can't hold themselves out for 3 years, so there must be a problem with the system. So he was talking, Rav Lonyansky was talking to him, and he said, first of all, we don't realize what temptations are. It's that passion. And Pasha, you're not around Torah. You don't have the power. You're not learning Torah. So you're around. You don't have the opportunity. But more so, he said, I heard about that you have a program also. You had a program. There was a program that this colonel had to be on, and you himself was on. He said himself, the colonel kind of expressed it, that I also learned Torah, he says. You see, they had this program in the army that they wanted the officers of the army and different soldiers to get acquainted with the whole Israeli system, the different types of cultures, and they sent different officers and different soldiers to different cultures of Israeli culture. They sent to this university and that, and they sent them for a yeshiva for 3 days. They sent them to be going yeshiva to understand the Haredim, they sent the yeshiva world, and they sent these soldiers to learn the yeshiva for 3 days. Said, I was part of it, and I learned, and I enjoyed learning also. You can enjoy learning. So he asked the colonel, I don't understand, why did they disband this program? So the colonel said, they disbanded it because too many of the guys were becoming Balei Tshuva. So he He said, I don't understand. You, these colonels are 30 years learning about all about the army, and they're so with the culture, and they're becoming big officers with their mustache, and their hairy chests. And every mamash, they're walking around, dignified, everything. And here they go for 3 days into the yeshiva. What's with your educational system? For 30 years, you can't come back to 3 days of learning. 3 days of learning, they've been coming by, you had to cut it down. We can't do it anymore. All of them are coming by, they don't want to come back after 3 days of learning. So what's the answer of Boyz HaLamaisa? The Teretz is the Koyach HaTorah. When a person's learning Torah, the power, not only to change the world around us, the power to change ourselves. The Koyach, that we say words of Torah, we see it every day, Rabbi, say, in front of your face, we see Pachim now, at the end of the year, they walked in here, Rabbi, you don't recognize them. You don't recognize them. You look at pictures from before, you don't recognize them. What happened? Besides, they got a haircut from Moshe Erba. What else happened, Rabbi Sai? Paid for commercial. What else happened, Rabbi Sai? You know what happened? They threw themselves into Abaye and Rava. They threw themselves into the Gemara, Rabbi Sai. And the power of getting involved in the learning, understanding learning, getting attached to learning, Rabbi Sai. That power can change a person. Can make a person a different Matzias. He's changed. His whole Matzias has changed. He's more able. He's nicer. The Torah has a koyach on the orish of boy mafzirel umuto. If it could change you around, if it could take a rock and bring water, it could take basar, which is softer, and change it around. Rabbi Kiva, when he was going on his famous walk travel, when he finally decided he wants to go to yeshiva, Rabbi Kiva, the famous Rabbi Akiva, for 40 years, he was an Am Ha'aretz. The Gemara says, not me. For 40 years he was an Am Ha'aretz. The Gemara says that not only that, he hated Talmid Chachamim. He said, give me a Talmid Chacham and I'll chew him up, I'll eat him up alive for dinner. He hated Talmid Chachamim. He felt so bad that he was Am Ha'aretz, he knew nothing, not Aleph Beis. And finally he met a woman that believed in him. He said, go to yeshiva. And he went off to yeshiva. So everybody knows the story. He went for 24 years, and he went to learn. And B'Sovah Shel Gavar, he ended up the great Rabbi Kiva. But no one knows what happened on the way to yeshiva. On the way to yeshiva, the Gemara doesn't talk about it. The Torah says, yo, other Midrashim talk about it. But the Gemara doesn't tell us what happened. There's a famous Chazal. The Rabbi Kiva on the way, getting second thoughts. He was very worried. He's a 40-year-old man. Starting his life again, Rabbi Sam. Midlife crisis at its best. 40-year-old man, a shepherd man. All he knew was to be with sheep. Give them a little milk, cut off their wool. He didn't know anything about nothing. He's going now into the big yeshivas with the great chachamim, and he's going there. How is he going to handle it? How is he going to be able to strive to be great in Dharma? So he's walking away and he stopped by a bridge. He started to think. He started to contemplate. What am I doing? What am I doing with my life? And he looked out and he saw an area of a rock. He saw a rock that. Not a rock. Because he was depressed. Not that, a rock. A rock. A huge rock. Other people would do when they get, you can't decide what to do. Just get drunk and don't make a decision. But he saw a rock. And the rock had become all like rubbed out and was mamish pushed in. The rock used to look like a protruding way out. Now it had to be pushed in. He was thinking, he said to himself, if the koyach of water, which was banging on this rock day in, day out, for who knows how many years, one drop at a time was knocking on that rock, but if I finally invested and press on the rock, it pushed in the rock. Torah, which is like fire. It can't blaze in my heart and change me, man. For sure. And then that Rabbi got physically went on, Rabbi. You don't understand the power of learning Torah, Rabbi. This is our lifeblood. It's more than our lifeblood. This is our life. This is our life. What's it called? That thing you throw out, the lifesaver. It's our lifesaver. Because at any interval of life, of course, when we feel pressure from the world, or feel overcome, we feel that things are trying to take us away, we have a power in us, around us, that could stop the trend, that could keep us well grounded, that cannot let us lose ourselves, of course. And this is so important for Bein Hazmanim. We're going back to the Wild West. Mamish, the Wild West. Everything around us is going to pound us. You know, we don't realize it now. We're Baruch Hashem in a yeshiva, survived by the walls of yeshiva, so we go out here a little bit, but the mice are around Torah, around Rebbeim. We get out there to the Wild West. Jimmy James with his machine gun. You come off the plane, not physical bullets, spiritual bullets, to dodge them all the way. This one's coming at you with his new iPhone. This guy, come over to my house tonight. We got some movies. This guy, come on, just a little bit, about 18 hours together. We'll bond with James Bond. 007. That's bonding. We'll watch every single episode of Friends, and we'll become friends. They will be enemies after so many hours together. But they come with a new sequel called Enemies anyway. We'll bond, we'll do this, come on, beat us, Mahim! Let's just do it, man! Let's go for a trip! Oh boy, a trip. We'll trip up on a trip! End up somewhere, who knows where? The Netherlands, the Neverlands. Austin, you can't mention it. We'll go here, we'll go there, just a small concert, a this, a that, bombarded the boyside. And we walk through the door, it's an old friend, and this, we see this magazine. Mama's just all around. All, everywhere and anywhere. You go innocently to go get a slice of pizza. Oh boy, how much are you going to pay for that slice of pizza? Small innocent piece slice of pizza on 18th Avenue, Rebbe, what could be wrong? Dum dum da dum dum da dum da dum da dum dum. It just happened to be my cousin's friends, come to learning, and we have just chatting. Nothing terrible. We're now friends on Facebook. Not terrible. Rachmana Litzlan, Rabbi, there's so many different Israelis who go in Mamish. Like we always say, a guy comes back to Bein Hazmanim. Spiritual ambulances have to take you from the airport. This guy has his eyeballs. Like Mamish been blown up. Mamish blown up in the Vietnam War. Mamish blown apart in what he saw Bein Hazmanim. Was Rachmana Litzlan. Oh, he's big. Eyeballs. Who knows Rachmana Litzlan? This guy's mouth. What are we talking about? Mouth is blown apart, this guy's ears, this guy's nose, they come off the plane, Amish, broken parts, looking these boys, doctors working on them, coming back and being Hazmanim. So what do we do to us? We're surrounded. Amish, enemy, but we don't realize the boy said, the boy says, well, you know, we don't realize it's a battlefield. We get that. They're walking innocently, through minefield, whistling, having a gila. Walking through a minefield, of like every step he blows his smithereens. He's walking off the plane so innocently. So nice. And then he went off to get off the plane, because on the plane he has something in the seat of us, and they give you an extra special introductory gift to Bein Hazmanim. 17 movies without pay. And you're sitting there, Mamish getting ready, coming out of your basement the first time, but he's like, I always tell the story of the yeshiva guy gets on the plane, and he's all siphoned, he has his sixes out, and he's all siphoned into the plane, and he has all his farm, he brings his farm on the plane, he's like, that's it, there he is, he piles them up. Sfarim will put to some use. Kishma. On the plane itself, the boys, they got him. He didn't even get to the Shmesh, to Shmutz Laretz. He's on the plane, and there he is. Sir, the next flight is taking off. It's 4 hours waiting for you to get off the plane. His eyeballs are caught under the machine. Sir, there's no movie there anymore. Sir, 17 hours straight. Captain, does he move? New mummy for the, if it will have an exhibit for the next plane. The movie king. See these guys get on the plane and their mom is like, I can't wait, unbelievable. Get those things on the plane, take it all. Sir, take it easy, guys. We get into our seats, you know, you'll be able to be able on the plane like 20 minutes, don't take off. He's ready there with the things on. There's nothing on there. They're showing animals from Japan. You know, he's looking, oh wow, I never saw that before. Can't miss anything. He has to see the what's it called, the show before, and the safety show before. He saw it 74 times. Wow, he never saw this lot. This would be fun. Any popcorn? Imagine if the movie's broken in the seat. He's running to the stewardess. Stewards. Stop the plane! You have to change the plane around. The mice would have shrimp was prepared. You know, the guy got, you know, they say the mice would have shrimp in the pork. He said that he got on the plane and he was sitting in a section. Those times they had the big, so they put him like right in front of the movie. He said, he has to change. No, sir, we can't change your seat. But please change the seat. This is the rabbi. They told him, no, we can't change it. The kids are, it's in the book. So shrimp was on the plane and, The mice, he kept asking before the flight, you have to change it, right, the seats, it's not a good seat, it's in front of the movie, the shrine was holding in, you can't change, no, our rules tell us, you can't change the seat, now there's nothing to do about it, kids, the movie, all of a sudden the plane takes off, everybody's waiting, the movie doesn't work, please achieve a bachelor, run into the next section. But the mice, at the end of the day, you see the guys, but he has Fakir, you know, the guy's all upset, you know, wow, never, you know, I can't. But meanwhile, they said he can't do anything about it, so just get me a neck brace. You know, like, you see these other guys, you know, they got in front, but they don't want to watch, but and the whole time they're stretching. You can't see, so, excuse me, man, move your arm. But the guy would have the safe with the two holes in it. Oh, Hashem. Masmid, he hasn't taken his eyes out of the safe. I never saw him just be Masmid. That's the plane ride. We didn't get to America yet. Then he gets off the plane. Oh, Starbucks is waiting for him. Right off the plane, he come in. I remember coming, and I think JFK, right off on the left over there, he come in. And he first coffee. We gotta get it in! Right off the plane! The non-call of Yisrael! Can't wait 2 seconds! Get out of the airport! I gotta get that non-call of Yisrael! I had too much call of Yisrael in Israel! I gotta get the non-call of Yisrael Dafka! I'm going back to Lake and have hundreds of places with call of Yisrael. No, the mice said, well, what can I do, Rebbe? The Starbucks is here. You can't pass up a Starbucks. Get the trafers in right away! Pump it in, everybody's side. And right in front of him at the airport, I'm sure there's in the summer, specially dressed, all sneer stick of ladies waiting for him at the airport. And then so on and so forth, everybody's side. Where are you going to? The beach in America. The all men's beach is also not kosher in America. And the nice, only one thing to tell these people, yeah, that. But anyway, at the end of the day, But at the end of the day, the boy said, you're surrounded, and you have, it's very, very hard to do stuff. It's very, very hard things to do things. So you're surrounded by this silliness, left and right. The boy said, so what do we do? What do we do, the boy said? The gates of horrors fighting us like crazy wherever we go. We just want to go, mamish, just stroll down the street. We want to just go here. It's this mamish. Minefields all over the place. We We have a weapon in us. In us. We don't have to go anywhere really if you live in Rosa. Avada, the Beis Medrash is a place for itself, but even if you don't have the Beis Medrash, you have a safer. You have a safer, a safer of Rosa. You have a safer. You have even not a safer. You have a Mishnayis that you remember. A Gemara, you remember. You have a Shkoina. You have to think about Torah Rosa. You have to concentrate on Torah. You have to say words of Torah Rosa. The enemy is under control! We got him! He can't do anything! Barossi Yetzara, Barossi Tor, he can't do anything! He's shooting nothing! He's dead! The war's over! You start learning Torah with Dibartem! Say words of Torah! People want to say Tiller of us, they say, say words of Torah! Slowly he melts! There's no movies, there's no nothing bothering me. I have the power to destroy the enemy. V'dibartem el ha'sel, speak words of Torah. This is our weapon that we have to realize that we have it all the time, that we have to carry it around wherever we go. Have Mishnayos that you know, learn Mishnayos. Have a Gemara, try to remember a Gemara, the Shaka B'Tayya. Learn every morning. Something in the morning, have that on your mind the whole day as much as possible, Rabbi Yisai. The power of Torah is unbelievable, Rabbi Yisai. How it can change around our essence, Rabbi Yisai. An unbelievable story to tell, Rabbi Yisai. Just read it, Rabbi Shimon Shkop, he had a Talmud. Rabbi Shimon had a Talmud. And this Talmud had moved to America and he had went into business. And he bought his first real estate, he bought his first apartment, or whatever, it was a house. And he was starting off his new successful business in real estate. It was a nice land, he was going to renovate the house, and then build a few flats, whatever it was, and make millions on it. A few weeks after the purchase of the home, a woman comes by his office and says, "Sir, there's a problem. I own..." And she's here with a contract. "I own a piece of the property. Somehow, it was unbeknown to her that part of the property was owned by this woman, and the person that sold it did not tell her. And she says, 'I don't want a house there. I don't know what you did. You built up a new house, a new complex. I want the house down.'" And he's going out of his cave. He sees the contract. He sees everything. He says, "Listen, lady, I spent so much hours in buying it. I put a lot of effort in putting up the house. I need the house. I'll pay you a nice sum. Just please," says me. She says, "No way. Sure, you better have it down within the next few weeks, or I will go to the police. I'll go to court." He's thinking about the court case, the money. He might have to knock it down. She has a valid contract. He's going out of his kingdom. He gets all into this press. He doesn't know what to do. His mom says, "The start of his business." At that time, his Rebbe, Reb Shimon Shkop, had come to America. Reb Shimon came to collect at that time. It was the Mishurim. So he went to Reb Shimon and he looked all despondent. He looked very, very upset. And he asked Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon asked him, "What's going on? You don't look so well." He says, "Rebbe, I can't hold it in anymore. I have to talk. I'm going out of my mind. I don't know what to do. This business, I thought it was going to be so prosperous. The thing started so well. I found this property. I bought the land. I started to build. All of a sudden, this woman comes over with a contract. What can I do? I'm stuck." Reb Shimon says, "Let me think." And he says, "Tomorrow is Thursday, yeah? Tomorrow, I kriya satoira, I will lift the toira, I have to go stare at the oisius of the toira. That's what I should do, yeah? That's what I should do." This is Rebbe said, he listens. Next day, it's Hagba. He asks the Gabi if he can get Hagba. He lifts the stave of the toira and he stares at the oisius of the toira. Now it's brought from the Arizal, which you know that a person never by Hagba should stare at the Oisius. The Torah brings a Kedusha. This guy stares at the Oisius, stares very, very well at the words, low laps of the Torah, goes home. A couple of hours later, gets a call. The woman comes down, says, I rethought it. I feel bad for you. Just give me a few $1,000 and I'll be gone." He calls his Rebbe, he says, "Rebbe, what's going on?" He says, "I saw your soul was a choshech. You were so dark. There was no light coming into you. Power, just constantly focusing, looking at those words that shed a light on your soul and changed your whole essence. Looking at the words of Torah. Am imagine we say words of Torah? If we say words of Torah, the power of words of Torah is that. The power is unbelievable. We bat the Malasala produced water. The Koyach HaTorah, the Parash Bukh HaKoyseh says when we learn Torah, all the bracha comes to the world. The power of Torah in the world was that. Can change! And see us, and it can change nature. And for sure can change ourselves and protect ourselves. We put invested so much time in this and so much effort into the success of this year. The Yetzirah is not giving up on us on the battle. You won. He's on the plane. He's making plans. We'll be coming around the mountain when we come. He's making plans for your Peter John trip. He has it all worked out a week in. The guy calls you. Let's go down to this place, to this lake, and who knows what it was. Yetzirah is a fighter till the end. He doesn't give up. He could be when he was knocked out by a lot of you guys. It was a 10-month knockout. Not a 10-month knockout. You fought the Yetzirah valiantly and you beat him, everybody. So you knocked him out. You're now a valid Ben Torah. You changed. You're better. You climbed. You did it. You're there, everybody. But he's coming back. He's coming back. He wants a rematch. On his territory. No. Welcome to my home field. Come on down. You're the next contestant. I'm beat up the Yeshiva Bacha. Are we ready for the war? It's a battlefield. A real battlefield. He's going to come at you with all different types of different mahalchim, how to get you, how to lure you in. You got to be ready, Rabbi, first of all, to realize that he's coming after you. The danger, you got to be weary of, Rabbi, go back, oh, I'm going to visit my parents. Oh, it's so sweet. But two doors down is somebody else who's going to be visiting you. And three doors down is your friend with the remote control 7,400-inch screen. 16 different things you can watch at once. Any type. And this friend has this idea, that idea. We're going to Manhattan, yeah, to visit the Beit HaMedrash in Manhattan. You want to see, you know, this side, the beautiful Batei Midrashot in Manhattan, downtown. Yishmaki evening on town. This is a small little excursion, Rabbi. Don't get so excited. What could be wrong with Manhattan? See, you know, it's like Mei Sharim. I once had a friend who bought a mezuzah in Manhattan, either, you know. It was written by a Schwarzer lady. She did it, she was a Yoyos. The place in Manhattan, one of its land. From the base message to Manhattan, everybody say, a new book just came out. One of its land, everybody say, I want to smile. It's just an innocent trip. What could be wrong, man? It's 2 in the morning in Manhattan. What can you do wrong? What can you do right? We just went out for dinner, drank a few beers, and we ended up who knows where. Someone had to throw me into a subway. Threw me on the train. I somehow ended up somewhere near my house. One of the terrorists, he's after you. We have one weapon, and he can't get near us. He's back to the cellar, talk to the rockers. Say Mishnayis. Speak Torah. Think of learning every single day. Every single day. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. A Mishnah a day keeps the doctor, the Yetzirah away. Every single day, Rabbi, you daven Shacharis before 1 a.m. 1 p.m., I should say. You daven, get up a nice time, daven Shacharis. Not going to learn a whole day, but right after Shacharis, you pound it to yourself some type of learning. and take that with you the whole day. Whenever you're going to place they don't need, try to take a safer, try to take the mishmar. Be, have your ammunition with you, person. Around you. Have a safer, have a svara, have a gemara. Think about the shmooze that you heard. Have a shmooze on you, person. Take a shmooze with you. But today you can get all the shmooze in your, all our shmooze in the day. We in America, he has 250 shmooze, you can get all our shmooze in your online. And you could load it up and you take it with you. You go on a train, you're going to go, you know it's going to be something. You listen to the shmooze about the train. On the train. You can ask them how to get up. It's free, or you have to go, no charge. You can load up all the shmooze in. So you listen to a parashat brachos shmooze, whatever. It's musa. You hear musa and it melts the Yetzer Hara, boy. It melts it. The boy said, don't pour it away, boy. It's so frustrating. Take all the work, you know, a guy's pouring a big vat of wine. He's pouring and pouring, and then slowly he knows there's a little hole in the bottom, and it goes all down the drain. Rachmanah litzlan, don't waste it. Let's use it out. The Bein HaZman to relax, to rest, to get strength for El Obetz Hashem. But let's realize the boy's side, that we have to stay close to Torah. If the Torah words of Torah, if the Baratim, the Schuzeh Be'ez Hashem, the words of Torah will shine up our soul. Surround us and protect us. And Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach will come back to the, from the Bein HaZmanim. Be'ez Hashem will healthy, physically and spiritually. Be'ez Hashem to be mamshich and continue on our path to greatness. Yisrucha Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach. Benachas ruach to our parents, to be be'emes b'kachi shem shemayim, be'zorich b'kor, that we don't have to leave. Mashiach should come b'korah v'hei v'hei v'hei.